Hello? You are welcome to Living Seed. Thank you for joining us again on this program today. Living Seed comes your way with a definite prayer that you will make it very soundly to heaven. On this edition again, we bring you the message on the guidepost to the end time believer, studies in the first book of John. God has strategically erected the guidepost of faith in Christ to make you overcome the enemy and his attacks all the way to heaven. As you listen today, God must, by his grace, seal into your life this overcoming principle. Do invite your neighbors and friends prayerfully to listen along with you on this message. And please bring your Bibles that you will follow us from one scripture to the other. Write us for every counseling need that you may want us to seek wisdom from the Lord to help you. Our address is Living Seed, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Living Seed, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Do bow in prayer as I invite a Bible teacher on this program to bring us the guidepost of faith unto heaven. Bragbile Akani.
Shall we pray together? Lord, we are here again. We are here at your feet, and we are praying that you will make your face to shine upon us. We ask, Lord, that your hand will be stretched forth towards us today in mercy, and that hearts of men will be turned over to you, even as we look into the Word of God. We want to pray, Lord, that this guidepost of faith might be made explicit unto our lives. Thank you for hearing us, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to praise God for giving us continuous opportunity to look into His Word and to study together. By our last discussion, we began to introduce the guidepost of faith, especially for the end-time believer. And we read from verse 4 of 1 John chapter 5 that says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And we did emphasize that whatever originates and issues out of God has the capacity to overcome every manifestation of the spirit of lawlessness in the end time. So we concluded by saying that for you as an end time believer, you need to be sure first that you are born of God. Secondly, you need to also be sure that everything you do, everything you put your feet upon, everything you lay your hands on, is not a human idea. It's not a worldly idea. It is not that which came to you because it was flashy. It has to be born of God. It must issue out of God. You've got to wait on God until it is born out of God into your life. Otherwise, it cannot overcome. It cannot stand the test of the end time. So while we continue to establish that, we want to progress today looking at the guidepost of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a way for the end time believer. And you will see that as we read 1 John chapter 5 from verse 5 to verse 13 today. I want us to quickly go through 1 John 5 verse 5 to 13. "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want us to stop there. Trusting the Holy Spirit to grant us revelation into this, in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at the entire passage we have read. There are several crucial issues that we need to talk about. Some of you will be wondering, why this particular passage? What does God mean? I mean, what did he mean by bringing this kind of discussion into this issue that is at hand with us? First, I would like you to know that more and more, as we approach the end time, the issue of conflict actually is the issue of who owns the world. Who is the heir of all things? And so you will discover that the main argument that the devil has continued to propound over the years is to deny that Jesus is the Son of God and he is the only Savior. As you go from one community to another, as people develop in either science and technology and all kind of ideas, you find that the central issue of conflict is whether Jesus is the Son of the living God and whether he is the only way of salvation. Nowadays, in our end time, in this end time, the world system is gathering together, and all they are against is the Lord and is Christ. I want you to get to know this, that the world system is not against any religion that does not proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The world system, for example, is not going to stand against Buddhism, Islam, or whatever, because each of these, they technically denied that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And that already shows that all this religion, they emanate from the spirit of the Antichrist. They are the ones that argue that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, and that there is nothing about Jesus Christ that will have given him an edge over any other thing. But we want to say that because that is the matter of conflict in the end time, and the more you grow on in this end time, you will find that severally, even those that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ over the years, they are becoming intimidated. They cannot boldly declare that Jesus is the only way. They are beginning to give in to humanism and secularism. They are talking about multi-faiths now. People now want to pray, but they don't want to pray directly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is why this matter of our faith in the Son of God is very, very crucial and very relevant as a guidepost for you as an end-time believer. And permit us to study this very quickly, as much as the Lord will grant us opportunity. Now, who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, there's no controversy about this. And I just want you to note the way the Bible put it in a very, very clear manner. He said, and who is this? Who wins this battle against the world? Except that man, that woman that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Who could possibly fight and win this battle except by believing that Jesus is truly the Son of God? Let's note that. That is a fact, and there's no need to argue about it. That the only people that will overcome the world, the only people that will win this battle, is those that have come to commit themselves, commit their soul unto this fact that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And that he is the only one you can hold and you will win. He's the only one you can believe and you are sure to please God. He's the only way you can go and you will arrive at eternity with joy and with confidence. But the question I want to discuss this moment is, what is it? What is the essence of our faith in the Son of God? What is it? Why does he bring us the victory? Now let's look at verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9 together. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, before we press on onto the rest of the verses there, the Bible said, this is he, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came by water and blood. Now, you will wonder, what are we talking about there? What are we discussing about that? Now, there are different angles in which we could apply this truth that is coming to us. First and foremost, I would like to establish that when we talk of Jesus, we are not talking of a ghost. We are not talking of an intangible fellow. We are talking about Jesus Christ, the Word of God that became flesh. John chapter 1 says, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. I want you to listen to this. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as that of the only begotten Son of the Father. Now, the first thing that the devil wants to attack in your faith is that if Jesus was divine, he could not be human. And so a lot of people say, no, he was not human. And if he was not human, where will he get the blood for our atonement? If he was not human, where will he get all the experiences as to deliver us from the power of sin? Now, the first thing God is demanding as a critical and cardinal point in your faith is that this Jesus we are talking about is the one that took upon himself the nature of man, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for those of us who, because of the fear of death, we are subject to bondage all our lifetime. Now, let's quickly look at the book of Hebrews chapter 2 on this note before we build on. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, I will read a long passage, but I pray that God will grant you an understanding now. He said, verse 5, but unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? That thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under man, but we see Jesus. Now that's where we are going. We see Jesus. Now, before we go on to looking at that, we want to note that God has never subjected the world, either this present world or the world to come. He had never put it under angels. So even for the principalities and powers, the devils, the demonic spirits that are overriding and overruling the world system now, the word of God is very clear about it, that God never created the world for the devil to rule. And whatever the devil is doing in the world now, he is an usurper. And God has determined that he has raised a man, hallelujah, and that man is the Lord Jesus, who is going to subdue the world and rule the world and govern it for God. This is the contention of our faith. This is why the devil goes all the way to say Jesus did not come in the flesh. That Jesus did not come by water and by blood. This is the argument when you go through all other religions. When it comes to the matter of crucifixion on the cross of Calvary, all of them denied it. This is the master plan of the devil to make sure that the faith of men are shifted from a living man called the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is central to our faith. Now look at the Bible. But we see Jesus, who was made for a little time lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. This is the critical point of our faith. And this is the argument that the devil is putting forth in all other alternative religions that the devil has propounded. The devil keeps propounding that you do not need any man to die for your sin. You are either dying by yourself or you are making some certain sacrifices, and that's why there's a lot of rigid rules and regulations in several places with several men to deny their need to believe in the Son of the Living God who came by water and by blood to make atonement for our sins. But look, the Bible says we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Look, for it was necessary for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now the beautiful thing we are dealing with here is that if Jesus did not come as a man, how could we be fellow heirs with him? How could we have the hope of sharing in the same glory in which he shared? A human being can never become an angel. So if Jesus were to remain like an angel or just to remain in spirit, how could we ever become brother and sister with him? Now that's the critical issue that the devil keeps fighting. Everywhere you go, as you advance in your studies, you will keep discovering that the conflict between the world and the kingdom of God is contention whether Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God or not. And listen, you can only overcome the world system if you will believe in this that Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary for us. The Bible says, and I like you to look at verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, I want you to stop there. Now, why do we believe? Why is this very central to our faith as a guidepost for the end-time believer? It is that this is the essential issue that transposes us from sinners to becoming saints. If not for the atonement of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary, our sin could never have been washed. So the Bible says, this is he that came by water and by blood. That is, first of all, dealing with his humanity. But I want us to move on a little further by looking at what is the implication even of that statement, apart from the general belief that he took the nature of our flesh and blood so that he could taste death on our behalf, and that by reason of his death, he might destroy the devil who has subjected mankind unto lifetime perpetual bondage because of the fear of death. When Jesus Christ went to taste death on our behalf, but listen to me, no angel has ever died. No spirit can taste death. Spirit cannot die. That's why we cannot allow the world system and the devil to unseat your faith by proving or by pulling you away from the fact that the basis of our deliverance, the basis of our salvation, is because our high priest himself took part of the same nature as well as ourselves. And as a result of this, we have confidence to enter into the very presence of God. Now listen. In the Old Testament, when the issue of sin was mentioned, there are two things that are used to deal with sin every time. Two issues. The water of sprinkling, and then the blood. The water was meant to wash the external contamination of sin in the lives of people. But yet, when you wash the external with water, it remains the blood to deal with the internal trouble, the defilement that sin has created. So each time when you read the Leviticus passages, you find that at the point of atonement, there is the washing of water, and then there is the sprinkling of the blood on the altar. But we want to thank God that the Bible said, this man Jesus is the one that came to us by water and by blood. That meant he was completely equipped with every instrument, with every tool that can make for our total deliverance and our total cleansing. Now, when you look at Hebrews, let's go quickly to Hebrews chapter 10 and see how the Lord will give us understanding there. Now, in Hebrews 10, the Bible says, and I wish you can read from verse 2. Now, from verse 1, the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the commerce thereunto perfect. For then will they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipper once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore then, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. So we found that Jesus came in a human body in order to perfect that which would deliver man from sin. He came by water and he came by blood. But much more than that, we see in the book of Hebrews also, chapter 9. If you will quickly look at chapter 10, please. Still follow me to chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And can you look at verse 19 very quickly? Right? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Thank God. So this man Jesus, he came by water, he came by the blood. The water to cleanse our life. But that water is not just the ordinary water that people use. I have seen different churches and denominations and religions always telling you to go and bath on the riverside so that you can enter into the presence of God. There's nothing about that. The Bible says, even if you wash yourself with hyssop, your sin will still be before me. Now, when we talk about the water and the blood by which the Lord Jesus Christ came, we are talking about the water by the word of God, because he himself said, you are clean by the word that has spoken to you. Now, this man that we are talking about, even his word, which comes out of his personality, is like the water that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, the water of regeneration. And yet, the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary was able to wash away and cleanse all the stain and the blot of sin from all those who believe. Now, yet you find the third evidence that as is bearing witness to this our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is that evidence? The evidence of the Holy Spirit that came and rested upon him. Now, so we have three issues that bear witness that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Number one, we have the Spirit of God. We have the water. We have the blood that all testify to us continually that this is the way of salvation. This is the man that God has raised. This is our Redeemer, Kinsman. No other man has come with water and blood and with the Spirit of God to work out our deliverance. Now, dear brother, dear sister, as a believer in the end time, this is cardinal to your faith. To know that no man could overcome the world by self-effort, by human activity. It is only by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, who was well equipped with every necessary tool to secure our deliverance. As we pray with you, you need to check your heart. Are you already getting unseated? Are you getting confused? Are you putting your faith in ordinary activities? The man to believe, the person to hold on to, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming. Our Father, we are so happy that you have given us Christ to overcome and for us to overcome along with him. We ask as many as, O Lord, are confused and do not know where to stand. May this message today draw them to you that they will overcome the devil in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise God for Jesus. He came not as a spirit or a ghost, but as a human being, even as we are. The strategy of heaven in Christ Jesus is that human being overcomes Satan. Don't be deceived. Don't be intimidated. If you are not being overcoming, stand up in Christ Jesus and overcome sin, the devil, and even the world henceforth in Jesus' name. Write us. Our address is Living Seed, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Living Seed, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. God bless you.